G. Campbell Morgan was a preacher of another generation. He was pastor of Westminster, it was called Westminster Chapel in London. It was during the time, later in his ministry, it was during the time of World War II. So it was a time when London was being bombed. He was just a great man of the word. He was an expository preacher that would just take the text of Scripture and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, open it up and just feed the people with the living word of God. Later in his life, I read one of his sermons that he preached later in his life, and he tells this story how, as a young man getting ready to leave home and launch out on his own, here he is, he lives in England. It's kind of the end of the Victorian era. And you picture this, it's one of those, you know, PBS British Downton Abbey type of moments. Here's this young man, British guy with his suit and his two suitcases in hand, standing on the train platform with his father standing next to him, while the steam engine is off in the distance ready to roll in. And he says, at that moment, my father said to me, son, I have a scripture for you. It is Proverbs 3:6. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. There's a young man getting ready to go find his way in the world, leaving home behind. His father gives him this passage of Scripture. In all your ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. And G. Campbell Morgan says, my life has been in large measure a testimony to the truth of that promise, insofar as I have acknowledged God. To that measure, he has directed my paths. He's made my way straight. Now, that's a passage that many of us are familiar with. Some of you probably have kind of had Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the back of your mind for many years as you've learned to walk with God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. As we look at that briefly this morning, I just very simply want to see you to see that there is, first of all, in there a word of warning. Lean not on your own understanding. That's the warning. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We've spent much of our life leaning on our own understanding. Before we became a child of God, that's all we had is our own understanding. We defend our own understanding. We like our own understanding. We're convinced of our own understanding. But the warning of this passage is don't lean on your own understanding. I was thinking about that, and what came to my mind was a story back in Joshua chapter 9. You remember Joshua has become not only the commander of the Lord's army, the people of Israel, not only the military commander, but he's now become the leader over all of Israel because Moses is now died. And so Joshua has been called of God, anointed by God. He's leading the people of Israel. They've come to the Jordan River. They've crossed the river on dry land. They've now attacked the city of Jericho and marched round and round. The walls have fallen down, and they've gone on from there and conquered other cities. And the people of the land are fearful of them. They know what's coming. They've been hearing the stories, how the people of Israel come, and their God seems to fight for them. They've known a great deal of success in battles. And the people are trembling because they know that the God of Israel has told his people that they are to drive out the people of the land. Now, he said that not simply because they happened to be in the wrong place and happened to be in a land that God wants to give his people. He says that because these are people who are under the judgment of God. They've been in rebellion against the Lord. He speaks of the fact that their judgment has reached the point where God is going to deal with them. Remember, when we find ourselves sometimes troubled by those things, God is holy. We don't really want God to be holy. We want God to be nice. But he's holy. And so he's bringing judgment to the people in the land. And so there's a nearby group of people, the Gibeonites, and they devise a plan, and they come to see the leaders of Israel, but they come looking as if they've come from a long, 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 far away place. They come looking kind of bedraggled. Their clothes are worn out. Their sandals are worn out. The bread that they have is moldy. The wineskins are empty. And they look as if they've been traveling for weeks and weeks in order to get there. It's all a deception. It's a ruse. But nonetheless, that's what they're up to. They're trying to convince the leadership of Israel that they've come from a long, long way away, and they want to make a treaty with Israel. Now, in fact, they're from just down the road, and they're one of the groups that God has told Israel to destroy. But it says in Joshua 9:14, the men of Israel sampled their provisions but did not inquire of the Lord. They did not inquire of the Lord. They were leaning to their own understanding, and in their own understanding, they had no reason to doubt what was being said here. And so they entered into a treaty with people which God had told them to destroy. In another generation, that will cause all kinds of problems for them. They did not inquire of the Lord. How often have I been guilty of that? How often have you been guilty of that? We did not inquire of the Lord. This morning in the 8:30 service, we sang that little chorus that goes, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. We learn that, don't we? Eventually we learn that we cannot lean on our own understanding. Our own understanding will fail. So there's this word of warning, but then there comes a word of instruction. It's not just lean not on your own understanding, but it's trust in the Lord with all of your heart. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, the Lord that's being spoken of here is the God of Israel. It's Yahweh. That's the Hebrew word he uses to introduce himself to Moses back there at the burning bush when he stops Moses by the burning bush and says, Moses, I want you to go back and speak to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses is trying to figure all this out, and he says, well, what if they don't believe me? When I go back to my people, who am I supposed to say sent me? Who are you? What's your name? And God says, I am that I am. Tell them, I am has sent you. Yahweh, Jehovah, the great God who it simply is that Lord that we are to trust. Trust in that Lord, that creator God, that redeemer God, that sustainer God, that God who speaks and the power of his voice calls forth things that are not. Trust in that Lord. Trust in that Lord with all of your heart and acknowledge him in all of your ways. I can't think of any part of my life that leaves out. When you speak of with all of my heart and in all of my ways, with all of my heart just has to do with who I am. Just covers it completely. Who I am as a person. All of my ways completely covers how I live, what I do when I get up in the morning. All of my ways. So with all of my heart and in all of my ways, I am to trust the Lord and acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and in all of your ways acknowledge him. What a glorious thing to just begin to walk in that, to begin to grow in that. To say, Lord, teach me how to do that. I want to be that kind of a man or woman or young person. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I know that will always get me into trouble. I want to trust you with all of my heart. Teach me that kind of a life. Teach me what it is to acknowledge you in all of my ways, every day, as I walk through this life, as I go through my work day, as I go through my school day, as I go through the times with my family, with my friends. Lord, I want to just acknowledge you in all of that. Teach me how to trust and how to obey. A couple of years ago, we spent an extended period of time looking at the subject of faith and went to that great passage there in Hebrews chapter 11. In the first verse, we find out that faith operates in the realm of the not yet. And also that faith operates in the realm of the invisible, and that faith, when you look down some further verses, faith operates in the realm of the even though there are things that seem to look contrary, faith still trusts. And faith sees. It's a new way of seeing. Faith believes he is the truth, believes he is able to save and heal and deliver. Faith obeys. It takes risks. It acts. It steps out. Faith receives with open hands. It just says yes to the things that God wants to give. Faith trusts. And you've heard me say this before. Faith not just trusting God for something, but trusting God, period. It just says, yes, Lord, I choose to trust you. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. The word of warning and then the word of instruction are followed with a word of promise. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And here comes the promise. And he will make your paths straight. Now let me tell you what that does not mean. That is not some kind of a guarantee that if you just figure out how to live a life that trusts God and acknowledges him, then there's sort of a guarantee here that God is going to go before you and just kind of make your pathways nice and straight and easy for you. This is not some kind of equivalent of the Irish blessing, you know, may the road rise up to meet you and the wind be at your back, or however that stuff goes. That's not what's being said here. You know, in the Old Testament, I've heard Michael Card, the singer, call the Old Testament folks people of the equation. You know, that if I keep the covenant like this, then that equals God is going to do this blessing. So that the idea of my behavior and his blessing were kind of on opposite sides of the equal sign. And if I just could do this, then God would do that. And that's the way they thought, but that's not always the correct way to think. We can't just be people of the equation, because sometimes we find ourselves in some very, very difficult circumstances. I'm just so thankful for those wonderful testimonies that we heard this morning. Some of you have testimonies to give of God seeing you through the hard times or the loss of a loved one to cancer, and God's faithfulness in that. When it speaks here of he will make our path straight, it's not talking about the external circumstances of our life, but rather what God does within us as we walk out this daily life of trusting God and acknowledging him. And then as he teaches us to walk in that, what we discover is as we're faithful in walking in that, that our pathway becomes straight, even though it's leading us through all kinds of difficulty. As Dean was singing a few moments ago, that great song, it ends with the phrase, it is well with my soul. Many of us for years have sung that great hymn, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way. That's what we all want. We love those days. When peace like a river attendeth my way, those are great, great days. But not only when peace like a river attendeth my way, but when sorrows like sea billows roll. There are those days as well. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say it is well. It is well with my soul. How do you learn that? How do you get to that place? I think that's the promise here. As we learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not into our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge Him, He will make straight our path so that we can sing and mean it. It is well with my soul on the days when peace like a river attendeth my way, and we can sing it on days when sorrows like sea billows roll. When we speak of trusting the Lord, the first step in that is to trust what God has done for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. That He died there for me. That His death was a great gift of grace, because He was dying my death. He was bearing my sin. He was taking my punishment. He was dying for me. And so the first step of trusting the Lord with all of my heart is to trust Him to be my Savior, the one who takes my sin and gives me the gift of eternal life and brings me into a relationship with Himself, and then begins to teach me what this life looks like of trusting in the Lord with all of my heart, leaning not my own understanding, in all of my ways acknowledging Him, and then seeing how He makes my path straight. Bow with me in prayer. Lord, thank You so much for the living Word of God and its